Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Chulin Daf Pei Vav. We begin 13 lines from the top of the Yom, and back to that story where Rabbi Chiya, the great Rabbi Chiya, encountered some trouble, some parasites lingering in his pishtan, in his flax that was soaking in the pool. He went to his uncle, Rabbi Danos, who gave him some sound advice into how to cleanse his material from these parasites. And here comes the question. What are these parasites doing at all in Rabbi Chiya, the great tzaddik Rabbi Chiya's possessions? Uminafal le'yaniva. Can it be so that the yaniva, this worm, ends up bekitne in his flax? A tzaddik's righteousness is meant to protect his environment and certainly his own possessions. V'amar Rabban Bar Abba, he taught us, V'amriglo, some say it was Amir Rabbi Abban Bar Shvo, Misha'olu b'nei ha'goyla w'andiyim. B'nei ha'goyla, those from Bavel, came up to Eretz Yisrael. This was in the middle of Bayis Sheni. Guess what? The calamity stopped. Pasku ha'zikin, zikin meteorite, attacks. They stopped. Azvois, earthquakes, v'ruchois, damaging winds, v'ra'amim, thunders, v'layach v'tziyenam, nor did their wine sour, v'loy loka pishtanam. They're pishtan, there you go. Did not get ruined. So all these things were preserved because of the tzaddikim. Who are the tzaddikim that arrived at that time? V'nosnu chacham einem. Chacham placed their eyes, meaning they attributed these things to the great men that just arrived. The recently arrived tzaddikim, who were Rebbe Chiya. There you go, Rebbe Chiya Obanov. So they protected the whole land. Certainly their own things. Says the Gemara, ironically not. Their schus and their righteousness only protected the Alma, only impacted their environment, their community. But for themselves, adidhu loy, it doesn't help themselves. Rashi explains, Rashi asks two words, Bahai Alma, in this world. A tzaddik's reward is reserved for eternity in the next world. Hashem does not want the tzaddik to lose any, even a minute amount of schar that's reserved forever and ever by paying him off a little in this world to nothing. They gain and benefit nothing in this world. And they, in fact, they can encounter troubles. So they protect their community, but they themselves are not immune. Kidravida Marav. As per Amaravida Marav, Bechol Yom V'yom, on a daily basis, Baskol, a heavenly voice, which some people can hear, Yoitzes V'ymeres, calls out as follows, Kala Olam Kula, the entire world, Nizain, is being sustained by the great tzaddik, Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa. He calls down the blessing, Bishvil. Some say Bishvil is like a shvil, a pathway. He's the pathway, he's the conduit. Chanina ben, my son Chanina, he's the conduit of blessing. But he himself, Chanina ben, he subsists on barely nothing. Dailoi, for him it's enough, Bekav Cheruvin, a small measure of carob. Merav Shabbos per week. Merav Shabbos, Erev Shabbos from Shabbos to Shabbos. Rashi says, Mesparnes Bitsar, who with Simpson, he barely has what to live on. It's all waiting for him for Elam Haba. So everybody else, yeah, but he himself lives a purely spiritual life. Continues the mission. Chereish Shaita Vakatan. So back to Kisui Adam. In order to trigger the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, we have to have a proper shechita, an edible shechita, meaning it produces edible material. Let's say we have an unqualified sheikh, the cheresh, deaf, mute, shechita, mentally unstable, but katna, a minor, who executed shechita. Now, if you recall back from that base, they're not really supposed to do this, but if there is supervision, there's somebody looking over it, there's a mashkiach, who ensures that it was a proper shechita, then in fact, it is considered a proper shechita, and you can eat from it. But otherwise, you never know, right? If it was a proper shechita, and you can't really eat the basar. Okay, so cheder shechita v'kan sheshachdu, who did shechita, under supervision, v'acherim and others, roi and oisim, were watching them during the process, chayv l'chasos. In this case, the flesh is edible, so kosher shechita, and you have to do kisi adam. But benon ben atzman, if they did it in private, then we assume that the shechita that they attempted went awry, so you can't eat it. It's not an edible shechita, and it does not require kisui adam patur melechaseis. And the same exact would apply to the question of oisav es benoi, right? If you slaughter a mother animal, you can't slaughter the baby animal within the day, So let's say the first one was done by a katan. Does it have validity? Do you have to wait a day for the offspring? Or do you say, no, just discount what he did, it's worthless, it's a non-starter? Same exact would apply there. So if these unqualified individuals shashachtu did the shechita v'acherim roin oisin under supervision, so it's a valid shechita and you have to wait a day to follow up with the offspring. But let's say they did it in private. Rameir matir lishchita achreim. He says, yeah, Rameir says you can shech the offspring right then and there because we assume the first shechita was a non-starter. V'achachamim oisrim. He says, no, just in case, maybe. Just maybe, the shechita of a katan was a successful shechita. You have to reckon with it, and you have to wait a day to do the offspring. Now, umaydim all agree, shim shachat, even the chacham will say, hold back from doing the offspring on the same day, but if he did, if he proceeded, you never know. You can't punish him. Shein es soifik es arbaim does get malchus, because after all, it's an uncertainty. It's in doubt. We don't know whether the first shechita was valid. Now, if you realize, the Mishnah has two parts, right? There's first issue is Kisi Hadam. And over there, the Mishnah says, well, if the Katan did it in private, no need to do Kisi. There's no Machlaikas there. It seems like all agree. Whereas in the safe one, the next part, we have Oisev Ez Benoi. A Katan did it. We have a Machlaikas. Rameir says, it's presumed to be a non-valid shechita, ineffective shechita, and go ahead and shech the offspring right then and there. Chachamim forbid. So the question is, why did the Chachamim only challenge Rameir in the Oisev Ez Benoi issue? If there's any doubt involved, there's any uncertainty, that maybe it was a valid shechita, then they should have applied that concept to the first case as well. Well, maybe do kisi adam just in case it was a proper shechita. Rabbanon, says the Gemara, Maishna reisha lepli. Why do they not challenge Rameir and the reisha regarding kisi adam? Why do they not obligate kisi adam just in case it was a valid shechita? U maishna sefer the pligi. Whereas in the sefer, they do present their opposing view that you have to be stringent regarding oisiv es benay just in case. What's the difference? Says the Gemara like this. We don't want people, we don't want the observer who's observing this whole scene to deduce in any way that it was a proper shechita and that might encourage him to go and eat the meat, thinking that it was a proper shechita. So, yeah, if you go and you obligate kisi adam, the observer will say, oh, it must have been a good shechita, let me eat it. Not realizing that really it's a problematic shechita. So that's why we don't proceed with kisi adam. We don't want to give any impression that it was a valid shechita, but in the sefer, what are we doing? We're just sitting passively. We're saying, listen, shechita and the mother was done a minute ago. Just hold back. Don't do the offspring until tomorrow. That's not a statement in any direction, because the observer will say, listen, he's not hungry. He's not shechting because he doesn't have what to shech. Since you're taking a passive stance, that doesn't really add validity to the experience. Okay, so that's the difference. Reisha, the first case of kisi adam, we don't do kisi adam, because otherwise the amrin and chayav and lachasis, if we'll obligate you to do kisi amri, so the person watching will say, oh, apparently it was a valid shechita, shechita mal yisai, and they go eat the meat. V'asil mechel b'shechitos, and they'll eat the shechita of the katan. So we don't do that. As opposed to, says the Gemara, first we'll be a kasha and a teretz. Well, says the Gemara, okay, if you're worried about the observer coming to the wrong conclusion, say for nami. So in the case of the oisav es benoi, that you're withholding, you're waiting a day for the next shechita. Kivin, the common rabban wants rabban to tell us also lishchad achreim. You can't do the offspring immediately after the mother animal. Amri, people might conclude erroneously shechita mal yosei that the first one was a proper shechita. Once again, they'll eat the meat. V'asil mechel mishchitas, they'll eat the shechita of the cotton. Oh, says the Gemara, there is a big difference between active and passive. Seifa, in the seifa where you're just holding back from doing shechita, amri, the observer will say, bisra delay kame boyli, he doesn't need any meat, so he's not shechting. Won't necessarily provide any statement to the contrary. As opposed to, it's a reisha navi. I would go back and forth. So in the reisha as well. What's the big deal? Just cover the blood. You're trying to clean up. Who says it's kisi adam? Maybe just trying to clean up your yard. Amri people will say, l'nakir chatzir, to clean up his yard, hutzara, he's trying to do that. Yeah, that's good if it's in the yard. So you can explain that he's trying to be clean, but chachat ba'ashpa, let's say he does a shechita out in the dump where cleanliness is not a factor. And he still goes and does kisi adam. That might send the wrong message. So that's why we delete the whole kisi adam. Michael, man, what are you going to do there? Or bali malech. Suppose after the shechita of the cotton, they come to ask the rav, the bezdin, should we cover the blood or not? So in that case, if we tell him to do it, Michael Lemaimer, what are you going to do there? Meaning, if we obligate him to do kisui, the person standing by will say, oh, kisui means it was a proper shechita, I'll go eat the meat. And that's why we do not do kisui. Says the Gemara of Tamech, according to your thinking, say fanami. So what about the next case? Oisiv es benoi. The cotton shechta the mother. Boli molech. Now somebody comes to the bez and say, could I shechta offspring today? And we tell him, no. Again, that's a statement in support of the first shechita. That sort of validates the first shechita. So back to the same problem. Michael, remember, what are we going to do there? You're right, says the Gemara. Let's back off from this whole approach. The Rabbanan really maintain their position all throughout the Mishnah. So just like in the Oisev es Benoi issue, they say, you never know, it may have been a good shechita, be careful, don't do the sun now. The same with Kisi Adam. Just in case it's a proper shechita, we do Kisi Adam. Ella, rather, Rabbon, Akula Milsa Pligi, really? They're challenging the entire set of issues, first and second. But they just waited patiently until Rav Meir finished, and then they went back and they argued. Not really the Rameir, they waited for Rameir, Ad Masak Lele Milsa, until he finishes his whole presentation. According to Rameir, it's not a shechita, definitively not a shechita, whether it's regarding Kisi Adam, whether Oisev es Benoi, and once he concluded his presentation, and they came back and they argued on him, but really their argument, their disagreement pertains to both cases. Okay, so we do Kisi Adam just in case, and we don't shech the offspring on the same day. Okay, now let's try to analyze the machlekes. I mean, we're not really sure what's going on. I mean, the cotton did the shechita. There's no way to determine whether it was successful or not. So, Mishleim and Rabban Nochumra, I understand the Rabban are taking a stringent approach. We don't know, just in case. So, when we don't know, when we're in doubt, we do without, right? Well, Machmer. So, don't shech the offspring until tomorrow. Do Kisi Adam, just in case. El Rav Meir, my time, but Rav Meir is taking a very strong stance. He's saying this is like an avela. It's a dead animal. Worthless proposition. For sure. How does he know for sure? Maybe the kid got lucky and did a proper shechita. My timer. Om Rabbi Yaakov, Om Rabbi Yechon, Mechayev, Hoy Rameh, Al Shechitosim, Shun Nevela. Listen to this. Rameh considered their shechita like a nevela, as if the animal dropped dead. And if one eats that meat, he gets malchus. No kidding. No, there's no doubt. There's no suffix. Whoa. So according to Rabbi, there is no suffix according to Rameh. Of course you don't do Kisi Adam. Of course there's no issue of Oisev es Benoi. Now, next question is why? How? How do we come to such a conclusion? How can we be so certain that it was really a failed shechita? My time, Amar Rabba Ami, Hoil v'roiv ma'asein mikul kolam. Majority of cases would be a failed shechita, so we follow the majority fact. That's a legal concept, roiv, majority. In which case we could determine definitively that it's an avela. Amar le rapap le rafun v'yishua. Probably some say it was a minute short who turned it off proper. I understand your point. But even, the truth is, even without going that far and saying that it's roiv, you can still come to the same conclusion that it's an avela. Even if it was not roiv, even if it was only 49% mess ups, you can still end up with a avela status. Why? My area roiv. Why bother with roiv? Why do you have to go there? I feel umiyatnam, even if it's only 49% failure rate. It would still be considered an avela. You know why? You see, because the animal had a chazaka, an established status of Isser during its lifetime was Asr, because it was Eiver Menachai, a live animal. So we have the chazaka pointing in the direction of Isser. We have the 49% failure rate on the katan shechita, again, heading in the same direction of Isser. So combine the two, if we join the two factors, that concludes that it's Asr. As we find elsewhere, that we can join together a miut with a chazaka to draw a conclusion. First of all, Rameir, throughout Shas, is concerned about even a minority element. We find that by Yivim, right, that a child shouldn't do Yivim, may turn out to be sterile, whatever, we're concerned even about small percentages. So miut is not non-existent, it's there. It can't necessarily carry the day. But if you combine it with chazaka, then it could carry the day. and can determine the status of this animal and make it an Aveva. Smoich, connect. Link, miyuta, the miyut factor, the chazaka factor, Vishrei Ruban, that undoes the roiv. So let's say roiv says the katan did a proper shechita, but miyut was not a proper shechita, plus chazaka, which pairs up with the miyut, you end up with a definitive conclusion that it's an Aveva. And we find this halacha elsewhere. This now we have a Mishnah, Tinuk, Shenimtza, Betzada Isa, you have a toddler who's lingering near the dough. You see a clump of dough in his hand, so he certainly touched the dough, right? Remain retire. Now the concern is that the toddler very often, you know, roams around, touches, you know, garbage, whether you have things which are tummy, creatures that are dead. So Rabbeinu says, no, Rabbeinu retire. He says the dough is considered okay. He says the dough is tummy. Why? Because regularly the child, touches the place with the garbage where there are tumma items. And then subsequently he went and transferred the tumma to the dough. Rabbeinu, the question was, my time to Rabbeinu, why does Rabbeinu say the dough is safe? Oh, because we have a miyut with a chazaka playing in favor of the dough. Kasavri he holds roif to negis metapkin. True. In the majority of cases, kids, you know, play with the garbage. Umiyut ein metapkin. There is a small percentage, a minority factor, that, don't. Okay, so there's a factor in favor of the dough that the child did not contract any tumor. That's number one. Number two, there is a chazok, an established tahar status that the dough had until now. And this dough had an established chazak of tahara. It was presumed to be tahara until now. So joined together the cheskas tahara with the miut of children that do not interact with tumma, return tumma beis, smoich miut al chazaka, pair up the miut with the chazaka, basically Reuben, that challenges the rave and saves the dough. So do the same over here by the animal. Now, due to this dual factor, we'll assume that the shechita of the katan was worthless, and then you can go shech the offspring on the same day. Says the Gemara, you can compare, tumma issues, which is the subject matter by the dough, which runs its own, set of parameters, its own rules, versus issues of isser of isser veheta, which has its own system, its own, set of rules. Im amru safek tumma latar. Just because when it comes to the question of tumma, we consider it to be tar due to these factors, we can't apply the same to an issue of isser, yamru, safek, isser, lahata will permit a case of a uncertain isser, and you can't compare the two contexts, and therefore, the only reason why in our Mishnah we say it's a non-starter, that the shechita of the katan is just totally neglected and discounted, is because we have a roiv saying so. Most likely the katan, was unsuccessful in his attempt. Okay, so in any case, we have a cheir shait of a katan attempting a shechita without supervision. Rameir says, Nevela, forget about it. Chacham say, well, we're not sure, we have to go to Chumra. What's the conclusion? What's the psak halacha? Hoira, Rebbe, so Rabbi Danasi, ruled in line with shechita's Krab Meir. Hoira, Rebbe, ke Chachamim. At a different time, Rebbe sided with the Chachamim. Now, which one was the most recent one, which is the most definitive one, right? Hai minai, which one of these rulings, Dachrisa, was the last one? Tashma, we prove from the following story. Rabbi Abba, Breder Chiba Abba, so he, and also Rabbi Zera, these two tzadikim, Habukaimi, they were standing, Bishuk of the Kisri, in the marketplace of Caesarea. And where were they? Apischa de Bemedrasha. It was in the town of Kisri, at the doorway of the Beis HaMedrash, right outside the yeshiva. While the session was going on inside, they were standing outside. Nafak Rabbi Amir, Rabbi Amir came out. Ashkechinu encounters these chachamim outside. He says, "What are you doing outside? Why don't you come inside and join the discussions? We could have benefited from your presence, from your clarity." Amrlu, he tells them, "Lev Aminluchu, haven't I already told you in the past? Beidem Medrasha, when the session is going on in the Beis HaMedrash, don't stand outside. Look to Kimu, don't stand Avrei outside. Dilma, perhaps Ika Inish, perhaps is a member of the Beis HaMedrash. The Mitzdarch Lishmaita, who needs some clarity in his learning." And what you can provide, Vasla Trudy, and they'll, they'll be confused. They won't have their clarity. Okay, so Rabbi Zera accepted the invitation, came back in. Oh, Rabbi Abba didn't. He left. Loyal, he didn't come in. He left. Okay, so once inside, Yasi, they were sitting, coming, boiling, discussing this very question. We know that Rebbe paskin one way, then he paskin the other way. Which one was the last one? Hai minayu achrisa. Which one was the final ruling? Amalur Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera says to him, "Ooh, what a pity. The Shaile Lasaba, a pity that I didn't have the chance to ask the elder, meaning my colleague Rab Chia, Rab Abba, Brei Rab Chia Abba, who was standing with me outside. I missed the opportunity. Lasaba, I could have asked him Dilma Shamil Lemavua. Perhaps he had this information from his father. Vavu Meid Rab Yechanan, his father heard it from Rab Yechanan because he was very close to him and they, you know, spent a lot of time learning. What a pity, I could have asked him. So Rab Chia Bar Abba, he had a practice. Every 30 days, he would review all his learning with his Rabbi, with Rabbi Yechanan. Okay, in any case, what's the bottom line? Without a question, here comes a right. The Shalach Rabbi Lazar, the Rabbi sent the message to Goyla, to Babel, Hoira Rabbi Kirameir. Rabbi concluded like Rabbi Meir. That's an Avela. Asked the Gemara about Rabban Nami Oiri, but we know that he also ruled like the Rabban. Elalach Shmamina. Apparently, this is the conclusion. Hadach Rizah Shmamina. We can conclude from this that, in fact, the final ruling was like Rab Meir, a Shchita v'Cher Shayt v'Katan, unsupervised, is treated like an Avela regarding all matters. Next Mishnah. Shachat Meyachayis Mokamechot. He did a Shchita on 100 Chayis in the same location. Does he have to do a separate covering per animal? No. Ki Sechat Lekulin, he waits until he's done, and one big soil covering for all. Likewise by birds, does 100 birds in the same spot, when he's done, one coverage. What if it's a chaya the chaya and a bird in the same place? Once again, according to the chachamim, one kisoy, kisoy. No, in this case, two different types, each one needs its own personal kisoy. Shechat chaya chasana, shechs the chaya covers that first, and then does it, and shechs that as well. Turn up on them. So we have the pasuk which says that a person will shecht a chaya, a yoif, asher yo'achel, right? V'chiso, shevach esdame, v'chiso be'ofer. So the word chaya in the Torah, Torah Rabban, chaya, kol, mashma, the chaya, despite it being a loshen yochel, a singular term, kol mashma chaya, it implies any number of chaya, meaning, whether it's many, whether it's a few, whether it's one, bein meruba, whether it's a lot, bein me'etas, or few, or one. Likewise, the word oif is all-encompassing. It can mean one, it can mean a million. Kol mashma oif, bein meruba, bein umeimut. Okay, so just like by the chayit, bein meruba, bein me'etas, by the oif as well, bein meruba, bein umeimut, in which case, mikan armud, this is what the mission is based on. So based on this, we say, shochat mea chayis makamechad, did 100 shchitas in the same spot, kisechad lekulam, one kisa for all. Mea oif is makamechad, likewise 100 birds in the same spot, one kisechad lekulam. What about chaya voif makamechad, a chaya and a bird in the same spot, once again, kisechad lekulam, one covering for both. Rabbi the Omer, no, a chaya needs its own, and so does a bird. Rabbi the Omer, shochat chaya yichaseno, and then he shechs the bird and covers it separately. Why? Why do we separate chaya from oif? Because the pasuk says chaya oy oif, a chaya or a bird. The word oy is a separator to tell you that chaya needs its own kisoy separate from oif. Amr loy, so Chacham responded, "How are you oimer? But look at the pasuk. Kinevesh kol basar dami benafshihu." Now, how is this a fitting response? It sounds like a cryptic response to what Rabbi Yehuda was saying. We'll get to that in a minute. Maika Mahadri Lay, how are they responding to Rabbi Yehuda's position? He's saying, look, oy means separate, and they responded with this pasig, which doesn't seem to have any reference to this question. Maika Mahadri Lay, Hachika Amrli Rabban. This is what the Rabban had in mind. You're based on oy? Oy is a separator? No, hi oy, mi bayle lechalik. The oy is needed to tell you something else. Don't think that kisui hadam is only required when one does shkita and chaya and a bird. Comes a pasuk and says chaya, either a chaya or a bird. So whichever one you do requires kisui. But it doesn't mean to say that if you happen to do both, you have to separate them. Rabbi Yehuda l'chalak midami nafka. Rabbi Yehuda responded by saying, look, to tell you that each one alone needs its own kisui. That's learned from the word damai. The pasuk says the shafach is damai, which is singular. If you shecht a chay, you have to cover it, even without shechting a bird as well. And likewise, if you shecht a bird, right? So what then is the word ay for? It's available to tell you that when you do choose to shecht both, you have to cover them separately. Rabbi l'chalak midami nafka. No, on that, the Rabbana came back and said, hold it. Damai doesn't necessarily mean singular. Rabbanan, Dami, the word Dami, Tuva, Mashma. is a general term for all bloods, even many. Dichsiv, as we find in that pasuk that they quoted, ki nefesh kol basar domei b'nafshehu, that the nefesh, the life of a living being, is embedded in the flesh, in the blood, in the flesh, right? So kol basar means everything, all species. So you see that the word domei isn't necessarily singular. Okay, so then back to the pasuk of Kisi Adam, Shavuchos Damai. Damai doesn't teach us. L'chalek. It won't tell us anything about whether you need to shech two chaya and oif to be obligated or not. Rather, you have to go to oif to tell you that whether it's a chaya or a oif requires kisi. So that pasuk oif is unavailable to tell you the next halacha. In fact, he chooses to do both chaya and oif, that he has to cover them separately. But Rabbi disagrees. He says, a chaya deserves its own and a oif its own. Amar Chanina. Comes up Chanina and adds a point. What about regarding a bracha? You know, you shechta the chaya. You made a bracha, right? Ashkita, you covered the dam. You proceed to the oif. Do you need to make a new bracha on the shechita of the oif? Do we say it's a continuous experience? Because the kisi of the chaya's blood was not really a hefsek. It wasn't really an interruption. It's all sort of one experience. Amar Chanina, Moide Rabbi Hayi Rabbi Yuda. Rabbi Yuda would agree with Inyan Bracha regarding repeating a bracha on the shechita of the bird. Sheino Marach Ela Bracha Achas. He did not repeat a bracha. One bracha at the outset when he started the chaya covers the bird as well. It's all one experience. Amar Le Ravina. So Ravina turned Le Rav Achabei the Rava. Amar, some say it was a Rachabei the Rava who asked Ravashi, why? Why is one bracha sufficient? You interrupted. You made a hefsek. Maishna betamidah the Rav. Why is this in the story of the Rav's talmidim who sat down to have a meal? The Rav Bruno, Rav Chanano, they were talmidah the Rav. Havayas besedas were sitting having a meal. Koy malai, who was serving them? Rav Yevi Saba was serving. Amrulay, so they asked him, Havli Baruch. Okay, we're gonna bench. Could you please pour the glass, the cup for the wine for Brichas Hamazon? And then they changed their mind. They said, okay, want to have another drink of wine. Hadu Amrulay. Then they turned around. They said, oh, one second. Hav lishti. Come, could you serve us another glass of wine to drink? Oh, too late. I have to make a new bracha because they sort of concluded the meal. Once they made that declaration that we're going to bench, meal's over. They have to, they're required to make a new bracha on the new glass of wine. Amrulay, Rav Yevi Saba, so the Rav Yevi turned to him. He says, sure, here's the wine, but make a new bracha. Hachay Amrulay Rav. Rav had taught us, once he declares his intention to make a brichas hamazon, that's a conclusion of the meal, it's a leila mishti chamri, can't drink more wine without a new bracha, chanami. So back to our story. Kivin it's a leila kisi, once he turns and does the kisi adam after shechting the chaya, he chayv leila bracha. So when he goes back and he resumes the shechita of the bird, that triggers a new bracha. It's a new experience. So why do we say otherwise? It says the Gemara, a big difference. I could compare two stories. We turn to the next page. Hasam, in the case of the meal, mishta ubruchi, drinking wine during benching, you can't do. Badi adadi, together as one, layafshu, you can't do it simultaneously. So they're mutually exclusive. They can't coexist. So when you declare your intention to do brichas hamazon, you're disengaging from eating and drinking. And when you have a change of heart, you make a new bracha. Hacha, but over here, by the shechita and the kisi adam, I mean, it takes talent, but technically you could cover the blood with one hand and do shechita on the bird with the other hand. So they're not contradictory. Hacha efshad shachat b'chada, you can do shechita with one hand, and machsi b'chada, and cover the other hand. And therefore it's not considered a hefsek, even if you choose to do it, sequentially. Because technically, they can happen together. It's not considered a hefsek. Right? It's not considered a disengagement from the shechita experience if, in fact, you aren't really compelled to stop. Rashi says, "Kol shata zman shechita, the zman, the shechita experience just continues without interruption." Okay, so in a nutshell, we discussed the power of a tzaddik to protect his environment. You know, it reminds me of a story, the first Belzer Rav, when he was looking for a Rav there, and he was hired to be the Rav, and he was a low-key person. He sat in his corner, a big tzaddik, and learned in Davin. They had a 5-year contract with him, and when it was over, some of the townspeople were not very keen on, you know, renewing his contract. They said, well, you know, expecting a more charismatic, you know, outgoing person. Here he's, I mean, all due credit, I mean, you're sitting and learning, great, but we needed somebody more exciting. So he says, listen, I'm not going to advise you, but I can just tell you one thing. I have a question. He says, within the last 5 years, were there any calamities in town? Any fires broke out? Any thieves arrived? Any mishaps? He said, no. He said, okay, you see, the koyach of Torah, the power of Torah, the power of Kedusha, does have an effect, and that's my way of reaching out and accomplishing, and they renewed his contract. Okay, we discussed the status of the shechita, the cheir shechita, the katan, unsupervised. According to Rameir, it's absolutely an avela. According to Chachamim, we go to chumrah, and the psak is like Rameir. One can do one kisui on 100 animals. What about chayav oif that is subject to machlekes? But either way, when it continues on with the burn, after recovering the chayav's blood, no new bracha is required. All the best, you and atzlacha rab.